Chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17 is where we're going to be for most of tonight. Over the last few weeks, God's really been laying it on my heart about how's my faith life with Him? How is my life in regards to how much do I trust Him with my life? What, I guess in the sense of that, is what is my life all about? Is it about Him or is it about myself or something else? And so along this train of thought, God had led me to teach in our kids' classes on the Sunday and on the Friday on the Ten Commandments, around the whole idea of if we love God, if we would elevate Him, we should keep His commandments. And I've just been really challenged about this of late. And so I pray as we just have a look through here in Jeremiah that we could bring some truths out that would be a blessing for you. But I just want us to consider as we'd go through this, I want you to ask yourself this question. Is this me? Am I living a life of faith like this? Is my life look like this? As we read here in Jeremiah, I just want you to keep those questions in the back of your mind as we go along. Actually, but first, can we just pray quickly, mainly for me? But yeah, if you just, we'll just have a moment of prayer before we start. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do just thank you for the privilege to be here tonight, Lord, to be able to serve you. Father, Lord, I pray as I've had the opportunity, Lord, just to show these things that you have you've impressed upon my heart, Lord, I pray that it would be a blessing, Lord, to everyone here, or that you would give something to your people, Lord, that would be edifying to you, or that you would be pleased with. And Lord, I pray that you'd change us tonight, Lord, that you would examine our hearts, and Lord, that you'd help us to get right with you. And Lord, we pray these things in your holy name. Amen. So again, just as we go through this, I want you to be thinking, is this me? Does my life look like this? And I think if we could continue to ask these questions tonight, I hope that we will be able to answer the questions of, is God really first in my life? Do I truly have faith in God? Am I truly trusting Him? And we're going to start off in Jeremiah 17, and we're going to start from verse 7. I'm just going to jump straight into it. That's what the Bible says. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Straight away, we see that God blesses faith. God blesses those who would put faith in Him, who they would put trust, they would be trusting in the unseen more than the seen. Blessed is he whose heart truly trusts God. Blessed is he who places his faith in God rather than man. They trust that God will provide to give wisdom, to meet their needs, and everything they do. And I want you to keep asking yourself this question, am I living a life of faith like this? Is this me? When I read this verse, can I say I am blessed because I'm trusting solely in God? Because He is my hope. You know, does God have my faith? Does He have my trust? Does He have my hope? Is He my hope? Does He have my heart? And really, does God have all of me? Because if He does, then there's some things that our life should look like. If He really does have all of our heart, all that we are, there are some things that our life should look like. And I want to show you that in verse 8 as we continue on. He says this, "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that springeth out her roots by the river." You know, if we would put our faith and our trust in God above all else, our life, our needs will be met. We will be like a tree planted by the waters. You know, we will have a sign of maturity, of strength, of full nourishment in our place if we would put Him first, if we would trust in Him. And asking that question again, is this what my life looks like? am I living a life where my needs are fully being satisfied? You know, and he continues on and he says, and shall not see when heat cometh. So now not only does God provide our needs, but when hardship comes, adversity and trial, and trouble is beating down upon you, you don't even see it as trouble. And shall not see when heat cometh. You know, when you see that trouble come against you, you won't even perceive it to be trouble against you. You know, the life of faith is supposed to be a life so fixated on God and trusting Him and placing our faith in Him that when trouble comes, we see it as God's blessing, or we see it as God working all things together for good. Does my life look like this? When trouble and hardship comes, do I have faith? Do I trust? Do I hope in God enough that I don't see it as trouble? I see it as God is working it together for good. It continues, but her leaf shall be green. So not only will this trouble, will we not see it as trouble, but it won't even have the power to harm us. You'll be able to walk through the fire and not be burned. In Isaiah 43:2, he says, when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Is this what my life looks like? Do I go through hard things in the week and hard things come against me? And do I walk out of it unharmed from it? Does trouble come and I walk away unharmed? And shall not be careful in the year of drought. You know, not fearful. When others around us are in need, are in want, we're not afraid because we can trust in God to provide for us. You know, would we say, this is an evident in my life. This is what my life looks like. I'm living the entire blessed life God desires for me. Or would we say, in contrary, if we went to Jeremiah 17, verse 5, would we say that this is more like our life? And he says this, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Is this more like us? Yeah, in our kids' classes on Sunday, I spoke to the kids about making God number one in your lives, about making Him your first authority, the first one you obey, the first one you trust. And I think as relevant as it was for children, it is very relevant for us too. I mean, we all do it. We all, when financial problems come, we go and we get a few more hours shift to provide for that, rather than going to God first to seek Him for aid. You know, when trouble comes in a relationship, we're so quick to go and to seek counsel from everyone, from our friends or from our mentors. But how quick are we to first go to God? You know, there's nothing wrong with seeking good counsel or putting extra hard hours in, but there is something fundamentally wrong with doing those things before seeking God first. In the context here of Jeremiah, Israel had been doing exactly this. Israel had traded their God for many gods. They had made powerful friends. They had trusted them to protect them, to be their arms, more than they trusted God. And God pronounced judgment on them all throughout chapter 16 and the beginning of chapter 17, and even the part that we are reading tonight. God pronounces this judgment against them. But he continues in verse 5 to say, cursed be the man that trusteth man. You know, those who rely upon and put their faith in people over God, who make flesh his arm. You know, cursed is those that make flesh his strength and safety. But the real heart is found in the end of verse 5. why God has done this, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. You know, this is God removing his blessing. This is God leaving the Israelites in a place of destitute. Your heart has departed from me. And I must admit, when I was thinking on this whole thing, God really had been speaking to me about, has my heart departed from God? Has my heart, Jabez Daniel Wells, departed from God? You know, I think I go to church. I come and sit in my pew and I hear the words that pastor preaches or others would say. And God challenged me, is my heart really in this? Has my heart departed from him? You know, when I go to pray, do I really pray trusting him to answer me? Trusting him to actually come through when the hard times come, when trouble attacks me, do I really trust him like that? You know, in my ministry, in children's ministry, what is it in me? Am I doing it out of my own strength, out of my own ability, or am I doing it in the God I trust? You know, when I give my offering, is it out of duty, or is it out of a genuine and real love for God? And I was really, really challenged with this. And I spoke to the Sunday class on Sunday. I told the children, as God's children, as those he loves, there's sometimes consequences for rejecting him as number one. And that is quite simply that God chastens us. And in this case, God removes some of his blessings from those he loves because their hearts had departed from him. He'd taken away their fruitfulness. He'd done these things to them, all because he just wants to reveal their hearts so that they'd come back to him. In verse 6, he talks a little bit about what these consequences will look, what their lives will look like. And he says, for he shall be like the heath in the desert. The heath here is just a bush plant in the desert. And it's the type of plant that exists in infertile and inhabitable, acidic or really poor soil types. So the imagery there being that you're like this little wooded plant. You've went from this great tree who all of your needs have been met to a little plant barely holding on in the desert. Yeah, and he'll make you like a heath. He'll make you, he says, we read on, and he shall be like the heath in the desert and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and in a salt land and not inhabited. In parched places, you'll be like a plant without water, where salt, where everything within you, in your surroundings, is pulling the very life out of you. It'll drain your very lifeblood. I'll ask you this question again. Does my life look more like this? Does it feel like your comfort has been robbed? You know, everything happening to me is just evil continually. You know, I'm barely holding on some weeks. He says, and shall not see when good cometh. You know, even when some respite from the chastening would come, even when something good would happen, you won't see it. You know, even when someone is trying to be kind to you, do you not even perceive it as something kind? It's hidden from you. You know, have you ever been there? When everything's just going wrong. I know I certainly have. I'll ask you this question. Does your life look like this? And I wonder if you'd say, you know what, I have been living in a little bit of a season like verse 6. You know, I've been fruitless in my ministry, in my life. You know, evil is coming upon me continually. and I'm just wearing out. Can I just give us the solution really simply tonight? We just need to get our eyes back on God. We just need to get our eyes back on Him as the one that we trust. We need to take our eyes off of all the other things that we've been relying on and put them back on Him. You know, I could say it like this. We've got to fall back in love with our first love. We just got to fall in love with Him again. And I know we've all heard this before. We've all heard that, you know, if only we would have more faith, if only we would trust in Him more, then it would work out. Then God would work all things together for good. But what's stopping us? And I want you to have a look down in verse 9, because verse 9 is what is stopping us. Verse 9 is what is stopping us from trusting God like we ought to. Your heart deceived you. Your heart deceived you. Verse 9, he says this, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" You know, your heart deceived you into thinking that you've really solely been trusting Him, that you've really been placing all your faith in Him, in placing Him as your first love. Your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, he's quite literally saying that there is nothing more deceitful than our own heart. There is nothing more sly. There is nothing more insidious. There is nothing better at gradually making our lives more evil without even our notice than our own heart. Deceitful above all things. You know, it is so good at deceiving us at times. You know, it can even deceive us into thinking that we've actually placed God as number one in our life. You know, our heart will try and convince us by saying things like, you know, you always pray before you eat. You must love God. You know, you gave those hundreds last week, Jabez. You must trust Him to provide you. You know, you must love Him. Look at you. You serve in that ministry. Of course you do. Don't worry that you've been eating that with gluttony. Don't worry that your life is so full of things that it doesn't even cost you anything to give that. Don't worry that your ministry is fruitless. Don't worry because you're like a Jeremiah 17:7. You're blessed because you're trusting and you're hoping in God. And you know, if you just hold on a little bit longer, it'll come. It's not coming. It's not coming. You know, Scripture says you will know them by their fruits. What does my life look like? Does it look like a verse 6 or a verse 8? Does it look like a fruitful and abounding trusting in God? Or does it look like a cursed and trusting in other things? You know, based on the fruit of what God's word says I am, only then will I know if I'm being deceived, even by my own heart. Only then, through the lens of God's word, can I be sure that I'm not being deceived. Can I just put it simply? Don't trust your heart. What does God say I am? You know, the scripture continues in verse 9. He says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." And I thought this phrase, desperately wicked, is a rather unique one. It comes up only 9 times in scripture. Once it is translated as desperately wicked. Once it is translated as desperate. Once as woeful. 5 times as incurable. 5 times. Once it's translated as sick. You know, like when God struck David and Uriah's wife's son with a sickness, and he was very sick. Same word. You know, why am I saying all this? Because your heart is more deceitful than anything. And it's never going to go until you die. Until God makes us a new heart and a new body, we will always have to contend with our own deceitful heart. You know, your heart will always try to worm its way into making God second place. It'll always try and trust in man rather than God, to find strength in flesh rather than God. What's the conclusion of this? Verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. I, the Lord, search the heart. I, God, know your heart. I'm not fooled. I know when you've been pretending. I know when you're just indifferent with me. I, the Lord, know who you really are trusting. I'm not deceived. I know what you make your real strength. I know what you're really depending on. I try the reins. I know where your affections really lie. I, the Lord, know what is in you. You know, I know when your heart's even deceived you. I know even when you think you're okay with me, I see through that. And I will bless you, or I will remove that blessing. Verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Why does God do all this? Because the Lord loves. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. You know, I want you to see, God's telling us, I want you to see that your fruit, the fruit of your actions, for what they really are. They're my judgments against you. So you can recognize you've been deceived by your own heart, all in the hopes that we just turn away, that we'd come back to our first love again. Turn your Bibles, the last place we'll go, Psalm 139. You know, the Lord longs to bless us. You know, he longs to bless us and to see us grow and to see us be fruitful. And you know, often the only thing standing between us and his blessing is often just our own deceitful heart. And I think if we come before the Lord when we have our Bible studies and when we pray even tonight with a heart saying, you have a look in Psalm 139, we're reading from verse 23 to 24, saying this, search me, O God. Search me, O God. You know, reveal my deceitfulness. Reveal my sin. Reveal where I made you second in my life. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, I thank you that you love us, Lord, and despite our own wickedness at times, despite us elevating other things above you, Father, Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. Father, I pray even now, Lord, as we would just bow our heads before you, Lord, that we would just seek your face. And ask you, Lord, search me. Try me, Lord. See the wickedness in me, Lord. Help me get that right. Don't let me be deceived. Let me come back into your presence tonight. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would just bless your people. Lord, bless this time of prayer and fellowship. And we pray these things in your holy name.